Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the nations, and the glory of thy people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and as a widow till she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Son of David is born. And now the readings press us forward 40 days to his presentation at the temple. This is the first of many appearances Jesus is to make in the temple, culminating, of course, with Holy Week, but this one is his first, and it is heavy with the fulfillment of prophecy. Malachi prophesied, then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord God Almighty. Because you have to remember that we were not told that the Lord had come to his temple until the days of Solomon's temple. It had been that long since we were explicitly told that the Lord had come to his temple. But I do not think that anyone expected the Lord to be carried into the temple by his father and his mother. God in the flesh has come to his temple. Now, the temple is a place of sacrifice, a place where animals were brought and sacrificed for sin, and especially the Passover lambs to be slaughtered. And so it is especially here, specifically here, that the Lamb of God appears at 40 days old, not to redeem, not yet, but to himself be redeemed as the firstborn son, as is demanded by the law. This is what the presentation of Jesus is. They come to offer the prescribed sacrifice, a pair of two turtle doves or two young pigeons instead of a young lamb, right? This is the poor man's sacrifice. poor man's price of redemption. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. Right? That's what the law says. Every firstborn male among your sons you shall redeem. This is because every firstborn son of Israel anticipated and pointed to the coming of the Son of God and the Son of David, who has now come into his temple. And now this son, right there in the temple that day, is fulfilling the sacrifice. The Redeemer allows himself to be redeemed by the blood of his own creation under the law. Right? And imagine that for just a minute. This is Yahweh Almighty, Yahweh in the flesh, the Lord of hosts, come, the King of the universe. And he is allowing himself to be redeemed by the blood of his creation. Two pigeons. If you've ever doubted the utter poverty, the utter humility of the God who loves you, behold the presentation of the Lord at the temple. The Lord of all truly becomes the servant of all. Now, when we think of, when we normally think of the work of the Savior, what do we normally think of? What's one thing? The cross, right? That's one thing. Right? We think of his death. We think of his resurrection. We think of his ascension. We think of maybe his teachings. And if maybe we're a little more contemplative or reflective, right, we might meditate upon the sufferings of God for us. But we really don't think all that much about his fulfilling of the law. Right? That's way down on the list for us, probably. Is for me. I'll just speak for myself. Even though it was his purpose and vocation to come and fulfill every last pinstroke, every last dot and tittle, iota, pinstroke of the law. And to do it for us, because we can't. And so at 8 days, he was circumcised according to the law. He was given his name, the name of Jesus, according to the law. He and his mother Mary were purified according to the law. Right? You see, there's a pattern being established here. And at 40 days, according to the law, the Redeemer was himself redeemed by a humble sacrifice. And in this fulfilling of the law, we should see God's work for our redemption. He is our substitute. He is our sacrifice, the sin bearer. He stands under the full weight of the law for us. So that if we have faith in him, his fulfillment of the law then is attributed to us. And we can say that we actually keep the law because of him. Though he be sinless for our sakes, he becomes our sin. He is the sinner standing in the place of sinful humanity while Barabbas goes free. He incurs upon his flesh, upon his soul, all of the world's darkness. So God joined the human race not only in sharing our flesh, our blood, our bone, but also in taking up our burden under the weight of the law. Now, waiting there at the temple to greet him was a very, very old prophet named Simeon. He is waiting for the fulfillment of the Old Testament, waiting for the time when the Messiah would come to him and he could behold him face to face. Simeon, at this point, is extremely, extremely old, right? Miraculously old, according to tradition anyway. Holy tradition has him at over 300 years old at this point, right, in history. And for those of you on in Wednesday night Bible study with me, he is traditionally one of the 70 elders who translated the Septuagint, right? So very, very old, if tradition is correct. And God, when he was translating the holy prophet Isaiah, God came to him and told him that he would not see death until he had seen the Messiah with his own two eyes. Now try to imagine what it was like for Simeon, walking the temple grounds every single day, waiting, expecting, right, getting older and older, with all of the burdens of getting older, right, which I'm telling you this morning in Sunday school, I twisted my ankle and it stinks, right? My body just reminding me of the ash and dust that I am over and over again. But think of Simeon, very, very old. Is this the day? Is this going to be the day that I see the Messiah? Is this the day that I've been waiting for? Waiting, watching in anticipation, longing for redemption. Simeon is like the entirety of the Old Covenant, the entirety of the Old Testament embodied in one man, just waiting, watching, longing for the fulfillment, longing for salvation and the culmination of Israel. How his soul must have leapt for joy this day. Leapt when Joseph and Mary brought the Savior of the nations and the culmination of Israel into the temple. And Simeon walks up and he takes this child in his own hands, takes God in his arms, and says to Christ, right? He doesn't look up to heaven, right? Doesn't speak nebulously out into the universe. He speaks to the God that he is holding in his arms. And he says, Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace. Mine own eyes have seen thy salvation. That's what he says to God in his arms. Simeon's faith could see through the humility, could see through the weakness and the utter poverty, and could gaze upon the face of his God, veiled in the flesh of Jesus. This child is the redemption of Israel. He is the salvation of the nations. He is the Almighty God. And so Simeon's purpose had been completed. To redeem this child with a poor man's sacrifice for the price of two turtle doves, according to the law, that he might for us be completely and totally under the law. Some of you know St. Simeon's hymn very well. I grew up with it in the divine service, singing it at the close of the Lord's Supper. Right, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the sight of every people. Right, we usually here sing that hymn after communion in Lent, right, because it doesn't have the alleluias in it. It's a good time to sing that, but we can sing it more often than that, and we're going to sing it today too. After the Holy Communion, now think about this, it's the perfect place to sing that hymn, right? And it was a novum in the order of the Mass, right? In Luther's Mass, it was new. It was something that is unique to the Lutheran order of the Mass. Was not there before, but it's perfect, right? And its place in the divine service is perfect. Because if you believe what the Bible teaches about this holy meal, right, if you believe that it is Christ here present, that we have in fact seen Jesus Christ, and that we have in fact, like Simeon, even held him in our hand, then it's the perfect confession. We have tasted and we have seen that the Lord is good. We have heard his words addressed to us personally. My body given for you, my blood shed for you. The body and blood of Saint Mary laid in a manger, nailed to a cross, raised from the dead, glorified at the right hand of the Father. This he gives us as food and drink here in this place in our time. And we, just like Simeon, can have true release, true freedom, true peace. We can truly depart in peace, whether it be from this holy house or even from this life. We have cause for peace. We have held him in our hand. And make no mistake about it, Saint Simeon is not saying that he's now free to finally leave the temple or free to just stop waiting for the Messiah. What's Saint Simeon saying? He's saying he's free to die. He's free to finally die. This is Simeon's death song. And holding and beholding God, it is a joyous song. He was released finally from his life's sentence. Free to die in peace without fear. Because he's not only seen his salvation, he's held it. And this is true for us too. We have worshipped the child of the manger and the man of the cross. We've beheld his mercy veiled under water and word, bread, and wine. And we too can depart this life in peace. Just as it was at the manger, so it is at the temple. The cross hangs heavy over the scene at the temple today. Simeon tells the Blessed Virgin, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and as a sign that is to be opposed." What does that mean? It means that there is no neutral position when it comes to this child. No neutral position. There is no middle ground when it comes to Christ. You either trust him with your life and your salvation and follow him and by God obey him, or you do not. It's that simple. It's life or death. You can't reshape him or reinvent him to suit what you think he should be for you. You can't take his holy word and mold it, form it, and make it say whatever you think that it should say, whatever you want it to say. You can only receive him as he is for you, as your King, as your Lord, as your Savior and your God. You either rise with him or you fall without him. There's no neutral, lukewarm place regarding this child. Remember, this is exactly what the church in Laodicea didn't get. Right? They, too, were lukewarm. And they were so distasteful to Jesus Christ that we're told in the scripture that Jesus spews them out of his mouth in distaste. There's a temptation at Christmas to dwell on the cute and the glorious and the glittery. I probably have glitter somewhere on my body right now, or on my clothes or shoes. Somewhere there's glitter, I guarantee. The manger, right? The adoring shepherds, the bright angels,
The stars lit up.
Many don't even go to the Christ Mass on Christmas anymore, because Satan has convinced our culture that Christmas is really about what? Family and presents and nothing more. And that's a shame. But we're reminded very, very quickly in St. Luke's Gospel that the work of redemption is always costly. The work of redemption is bloody work. And it cost Christ everything. On the eighth day, our Lord was circumcised under the law, and he was given the name Jesus. On the 40th day, he is redeemed by blood in the temple. And he takes our place under the law, that by his blood he might free us from our slavery to sin and to death and the power of the devil. Redemption, my brothers and sisters, is abundantly bloody work. Christmas joy, as you know, almost always inevitably gives way to the reality of the new year and all of the burdens that that could present. And our presents, even now, probably are losing a bit of their mystery to us. The lights have darkened for a lot of people. Trees dry out, real ones at least. Mine is a cedar tree, which I've heard about over and over again. And how it, have you ever had a cedar tree for a Christmas tree? Oh boy, when they dry out, you feel the pain of it. Might even draw blood to you. My point is, we'll go back to the reality of our day-to-day vocations, right? And the mystery and the sparkle of the season will leave us. Don't ever forget that just like Simeon in the temple, it has been given to us by the mercy of God to behold and to embrace this child of Bethlehem in his word and in his sacrament. And having embraced him in the open, empty, receiving arms of faith, we too stand with Simeon, prepared to depart this place and even this life in peace. So come. Come receive the gifts which your Father has purchased and prepared and provided for you beneath the holy tree of this cross. In Jesus' name, amen.